Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I want to get right into this message for today. And the first four words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The word beginning in this verse is defined several different ways, but the first definition of beginning is first. In the first, God. In the first, God. I have been saved now for over 18 years and been in the ministry, so to speak, pastoring, whatever, for over 14 years now. And one of the things I've always been taught and trained as far as being a Christian is you need to have a priority list in your life. You know, the old saying, God first, then family second, then, you know, church third, work fourth. You know, you've heard that list before. I think sometimes that's a good traditional way to teach some things. But actually, what I believe is this. Sometimes I think we make God out to be like an Olympic podium. And with the Olympics in mind right now, I was thinking about how, by the way, the Americans have already won some gold medals. Amen. And the old Florida Gator boy, Ryan Lochte, beat Michael Phelps in a race. I was very happy about that. I'm glad I wanted Michael Phelps to win a medal, too. I'm always pulling for anybody that's American, but when he's a Gator and an American, he's even better. Welcome to the SEC, MU, praise God. But anyway, so, that's what they're all there for. All these athletes are there to hope to get on the top of the podium. But if we look at it that way, I want you to follow my logic here. If we put God number one, how can anything be close to him in second or third? There's nothing. In the beginning, God. In the first, God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If God is first in our family, if God is first in our church, if God is first in our workplace, then everything else balances out just right. I was teaching several weeks ago to the young parents in the class, the child rearing class, about the illustration of the wheel and how there's got to be a center of that wheel and all spokes go out from it. And each time that spoke goes around, it makes contact with that pavement, that street, and it supports that wheel so you can go somewhere. I believe what it is, it's like putting God in that middle there. God's first, Jesus Christ in the middle, and all those spokes coming off. I'm not saying family's less than work. Family is more important to me than work. I'm not saying family's church is less, or church is more important to me than work. I mean, I'm not saying any of those things. What I am saying is this. In first, God. We need to put God first again. This country was built by people who put God first. Now, here's an issue that's been storming like crazy lately. The whole gay marriage issue has been up all over the news. And I don't know if you heard Mike Huckabee. I like to make these things public. Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, he said he dubbed August 1st, this Wednesday, Chick-fil-A Day. And I heard Chick-fil-A got attacked by all these liberals and this homosexual crowd and the media and the mayor of Boston and the mayor of Chicago and the mayor of San Francisco said, you're not welcome here, which that's not American. Last time I checked, that's not American. They said all those kinds of things. So you say, what'd you do? First thing I did is I called Chick-fil-A and emailed them and said, we support you. And this Wednesday, August 1st, the producers of the Christian television station that I did the programs for, they're having Chick-fil-A Day. They're driving to outside St. Louis. There's a Chick-fil-A out there, and they're going to eat at Chick-fil-A to support them that day, to let them know that there's still some people that believe in all that. But on the same article I read Friday night, there was an article that talked about the pros and all that, and those that are against it and all that stuff. But guess what? The founder of Amazon.com came out and said, I support gay marriage, and I'm contributing $100,000 right now to the gay marriage cause. Bill Gates came out and said, I support gay marriage, and I'm contributing $100,000 to the gay marriage cause. And so all that stuff. Now, why? Let me ask you a question. Why do we live in a country that was built on Christian principles that had gotten that part to that point? I'll tell you why. Because God's not first anymore in America. When God's not first, it's an issue. Now, let me take it down and put it to the bottom shelf here for Christians here so we can really, really get a hold of this and understand what this is all about. We're guilty of that, too, sometimes. As soon as we hear good news or as soon as we hear bad news, a lot of times we want to tell people first instead of going to God first. As soon as we have an issue come up in our life, we want to let somebody else know about it before we go to God first. There's nothing wrong with calling your wife or calling your spouse or calling a friend in the ministry or calling another person in this church. But we have forgotten to make God first. The Bible starts off with God. The Bible ends with God. In the beginning, God. Hey, by the way, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the beginning and the ending. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the beginning. He is the ending. We need to get back to God first. God first. This morning, I had the privilege of teaching the 7th and 8th graders in my Sunday school class. And I taught, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 107. I taught them this morning how to give a testimony. how to give a testimony. Very simple, practical message, but yet necessary. How do you give a testimony? I was telling them how it's many churches, somebody get up in the pulpit and say, hey, we're going to have a church service tonight, and I want to know how many of you have a prayer request. And 40 people will raise their hand and say, pray for this, pray for that, pray for this, pray for that. I'm for that. I'm not against it. But all of a sudden you say, can I have a testimony? Can somebody brag on what God did for the last week? Crickets, 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 crickets. So I taught them how to give a testimony so that, first of all, you won't be ashamed to brag on God. And secondly, you'll say it in such a way that somebody else in the church who's jealous can't get jealous because of the way you gave the testimony. How do you do it? God first. Somebody stands up and says, hey, I want everybody to know I got a new job and I got a nice raise at that job. And boy, that's great. Oh, I'm jealous now. But all of a sudden you say, God gave me a new job. God gave me a raise. How are you going to get mad at them now? Because God did it for them. How are you going to tell God you're mad at him? Hey, you brag on God, it makes a difference. God needs to be first. God needs to be first. The gay marriage issue is very simple to solve. First thing I do, what does God think about it? That's all that matters to me. Can I get an amen right there? I don't care that it's 2012. I don't care what the media says. What does God say about it? Abortion. The issue of abortion. Well, since the Bible said God first, let me find out what God says about it. I don't care again what the media says. I don't care what all the liberals say. What does God say about it? Salvation today. Can I get an amen right there? Salvation. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care what the priests say. I don't care what Baptist preachers say. What does God say about it? God first. Hey, I'm having some marital problems, okay? Well, instead of consulting all these marital books, which there's nothing wrong with that, let's find out what God says about it first. God first. God first. And we're missing out on that. God says the aged women are supposed to teach the younger women. We don't see that much anymore in America. God says the older men are supposed to train the younger men. We don't see that much anymore in America. You know why? Because we have replaced God first with psychology and our own ideology, and that's why we're in the mess we are today. In the first God. God's on the podium, he gets the gold medal, and there is no silver and bronze. It's God and nothing else. It's God and nobody else. It's God and no other God. It's God and God alone. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. You know what that means? There's no second Lord or third Lord. There's no second King or third King. It's God. He is King. He is Lord. Period. That's the end of that discussion. How do you function a church? What is a church supposed to be like? It doesn't matter what you or I think. I'm not going to go door to door and ask this community, what would you like to see in a church? God first. God first. I don't know if I can afford to give to the church this month. It doesn't matter if you can't afford or can't afford to give to the church this month. God first. God first. Hey, I don't know what to do with my wayward child. My child is causing me some burdens and problems. I've got somebody that's breaking my heart. God first. God first. Now again, I'm not saying it's wrong after that to go get some help from other places, and the Bible teaches us that. I am saying this. Many times our problem is we have bypassed the number one source, and we get frustrated because the so-called second and third and fourth sources weren't quite to deliver like we thought they would. And all the while, God's saying, I'm here, and you should have come to me first. God first. Now, hold on. Let me give you an illustration that really relates. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. If they want to eat something or they want to do something fun, they know that there's one person that can give them the yay or nay on that matter. They don't go. My 7 and 4-year-old don't go and ask Don Koontz if they can go to my sister's house this afternoon. Because he'll say, yes, go ahead, sure. Or he'll say, no, you better stay home with your daddy. They don't go to Brother Schmidt back there and ask him that. They don't do that. They know there's one authority that they're going to go to first. And it's their parents. My wife and I were both one flesh. Did I just almost say my husband and I? Brother Koontz, you have influenced me so much, calling yourself a grandmother and calling Nathan a wife last week or something. My wife and I are one flesh. They come to the authority. They check it out with us. And isn't it amazing that a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old a lot of times has more sense than many Christians in America do? We run to the medicine cabinet. We run to Facebook. We run to social media. We run to all these other places, which again, they're not always wrong. Not all of them. Not all of them are wrong. Some of them are. Some of them are. But while we're getting in deep with something that's going on in our lives, we forget all the while we ought to start with God. You say, preacher, God already knows everything. Yes, but you need to tell it to God because it benefits you more than even God does God when you tell it to God. All right, so Psalm 107, here's what I taught the teenagers this morning, real briefly. Here's how you give a testimony. You want to know how to give a testimony? You want to make it so that next time we have to have somebody's going to have to call 911 and a paramedic's going to have to come and give me public CPR in front of this church when 40 people raise their hand and can say, can I brag on God? Because I'm just being honest with you. It's like that in every church. Brother Schmidt, you know what I'm talking about, man. I mean, prayer requests, boom, and I'm for that. But a lot of times prayer requests are just repeated events or repeated messages you receive from somebody else. I asked you to pray for Carolyn a while ago. How did I hear about it? I heard it from her father. He asked me to ask the church to pray for Carolyn this weekend. That's how prayer requests work. I'm not against it. I'm for that. But let's give a testimony now. Hello, echo, echo, hello, 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 hello. Testimony, 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 echo, 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 echo. Why? Because God's not first anymore in our lives like he should be. Number one, or Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Number one, there's an action that takes place. Number two, you're assured that that action is only by God. For example, the parting of the Red Sea, did man do that or did God do that? God did that, period. No explanation except that, okay? That's not odd, that's God. How many are saved today? Say amen. You're never going to touch hell. You're a child of God. You're going to heaven someday. Praise God for that. That salvation could not be performed or given to you or granted unto you by any man, but God can only do that. Now you're immediately bragging on God. God comes first. I'm giving him assurance. I'm assuring that he was the one that did the action. Number three, I'm acknowledging him for that action. And number four, I'm unashamed to announce the action that God did in my life. That's a testimony. And the teenagers all went around the room and all of them gave me a testimony this morning. And it was a blessing to hear them give a testimony according to that simple process that goes through in our mind. Why? God first. I want to thank God for... And then you fill in the blank. The problem is sometimes my testimony, I'm just thankful that... But we forget to mention God. Listen, you say, preacher, this is a very basic, simple message. I know. I know. You're exactly right. But it all starts with God. Brother Nathan, you're getting married in 6 days. Make God first. That's the best advice I could give you. Make God first in your marriage. Make God first as a husband. And may God help your wife make him first as a wife. I don't care if you're going to get married this Saturday or you're going to get married or you've been married for 40 years. We still need to make God first. In the beginning, God. In the first, God. God gets the gold medal of authority. God gets the gold medal of guidance. God gets the gold medal of veto power. God gets the gold medal of doctrine. God gets the gold medal of information. God gets the gold medal of how I'm going to function and live this life. In other words, we are reading and following on so many, many of them are good ideas, but they're secular ideas, they're secular philosophies, and even sometimes they've been based upon scriptural principles, but along their journey, they have evolved or have been twisted into a man-made ideology that hurts the church and Christians in whole. In the beginning, God, it's that simple. Now, what does God need to be in the beginning of first and foremost? Number one, let me give you three quick things and I'm done. Number one, he needs to be in the beginning of your life. In the beginning of your life. Say, preacher, you just said you've been saved 18 years. Yeah, you know what? I'm still a little bit envious or jealous of people that got saved younger than 18 because I wish he got saved earlier in my life. But number one, it's life. Look at me quickly. John chapter 10, verse 10. I'm giving you a little Bible study this morning. John chapter 10, verse 10. And stay with me now. John chapter 10, verse 10. Bible says this. John chapter 10, verse 10. By the way, first of all, salvation. How many, by the way, been saved since earlier than 18 years old? Would you raise your hand all over the building? Man, praise God for that. Isn't that a blessing? You know, some of you got saved when you were 30 or 40 years old. Aren't you glad you got saved when you were 30 or 40 instead of 50? Oh, I got saved when I was 50 years old. Then thank God you got saved and you weren't 60 years old. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying you can always look at it and spin on a positive. Praise God for that. But I am saying this. The earlier you get God in on your life, the better off you are. Now let's go beyond salvation. Here's where Christians drop the ball. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, that's the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Here's what Jesus says. I am come that they might have life. What's the punctuation mark after that? There's a comma. It's not a finished thought. Jesus is continuing his thought. That life right there is salvation. That's eternal life. That's everlasting life. That's what we got at salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Never going to touch hell. Child of God. All your sins are forgiven. God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. And thank God the Holy Spirit's your Comforter. Praise God for that. But he says, and that they might have it more. What's the next word? Abundantly. You know how you get an abundant Christian life? By God first. God first. God first. God will never force himself to be first on a Christian's life. The Christian instead has to turn around and make God first in his life. I was reading a book the other day, doing a little research and doing a book on the subject of leadership. And D.L. Moody, one time there was a group of preachers and they're trying to have a revival down in the South and they wanted to figure out who to bring in to speak. And an older man of God raised his hand and said, "Hey, let's bring in D.L. Moody." And a young preacher said, "Hey, I don't think that's fair. He doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost." And the older preacher said, "You're right, but the Holy Ghost has a monopoly on him." Deep truth there. A lot of truth to that. Spirit fullness is not you getting more of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost getting more of you. And the Holy Ghost gets a whole lot more of you when you put Him first. First. First thing you wake up in the morning, you ought to acknowledge God. First thing you ought to do before you go to bed at night is acknowledge God. First thing you do when you get to work is acknowledge God. Before you eat, the first thing you ought to do is thank God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the more you put God first, it's amazing how much smoother your life will go according to God's plan. I don't promise a bed of roses. He doesn't promise everything to go easy. He doesn't promise mountaintops or valleys or this both in the same time or a mountaintop here, a valley there. He doesn't say everything's going to always be hunky-dory and glorified and wonderful. But I will say this, the more you put God first, the more you can have assurance that you're in God's hand and in His control. The planets in the universe all came in proper order and were set in place before mankind could be created because God first. God first. Number one, make God first in your life. I think you ought to make Him first in the course of your whole life. I'm talking about longevity life. I'm 36 years old now. I ought to make God first in my life for the rest of my life. But that means tomorrow morning when I wake up, I need to make God first in my life. Paul said, "I die daily." You know what that means? God first. God first. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live. You know what he's saying there? God first. If you start reading the Apostle Paul's epistles and you start looking at his doctrine and even his personal testimonies, Paul the Apostle is called the greatest Christian that we ever have, that probably ever lived on this earth because of one simple reason. He put God first. What a difference between President number 44 and President number 1, 2, 3, and 4. We've come a long way, haven't we? Here's what we're doing today. We're saying, let's put God's plural first. It don't work. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, "Well, Michael Phelps, since you won 8 gold medals 4 years ago, you can go ahead and get up there with Ryan Lochte. It's big enough. Y'all skinny enough. Just kind of squeeze over there. We'll give you both gold medals." It don't work that way. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not God's plural. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the God that spoke this universe in existence in Genesis chapter 1. It is the God, and that God needs to be first. Now listen, in heaven, He will be first. In a perfect place, He is first. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 1, verse, in chapter 2, He was first in those two chapters. When God got demoted from being first, God doesn't demote Himself. Man demoted Him. When man demoted God from being first, we've had this mess ever since. We're living in a society today where everybody wants to be first, but we don't put God first. We want to be first so bad. We want to be first in line. We want to be first. It's so bad at even driving. I mean, sometimes my wife makes a good statement. Sometimes I'm in such a hurry. She goes, "Wow, babe, you hurried up just to stop at that red light." I know. There's always a spiritual one in the car. God help us. We want to be first. We want to always win the games. We want to be the best at this. And I'm not against all that if you put God first. Because when God gets all the glory, then God says, "Okay, I'm going to arrange and make it easier for you next time." God first. You see, it used to be, let's have a day set aside of thanksgiving. And if one day of our life, we're going to humble ourselves and thank God. Today, it's a day off of work. It's the day to prepare for Black Friday. It's a day of liquor and the Dallas Cowboys. And that's why we're in the mess we are today. Because God's not first anymore. You see, people sometimes say, "Wow, God's judging America." What, are you crazy? He's not judging America at all. If God was judging this land, we'd be a whole lot worse off than we are right now. You know what's going on in America? God's just not first anymore. When God's not first, this is the byproduct of it. When God's not first, these are the results that we see. When God's not first, a Christian organization which said nothing negative or critical and just said, "We believe in the old-fashioned traditional values of marriage. We believe in God." And now they're getting bombarded and lambasted by this liberal media. Hey, you know why? Because God's not first anymore. We're teaching the school system. It's so bad now. God's not first. In fact, God doesn't even exist in our public school system. No wonder we're in the mess we are today. So God's got to be first in life. Number two, now watch this. Number two, God's got to be first in love. This will really help you now. I want you to stay with me now. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, God doesn't share His podium with anything, with anybody. But God's attributes can. And God gives us a three-podium look, an Olympic look at three attributes in 1 Corinthians 13. And God tells us who the bronze medal goes to, who the silver medal goes to, and who the gold medal goes to in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the charity chapter, the love chapter. It's knitted on many pieces of blankets or quilts. I mean, it's a well-known, it's on plaques all over the place. But you know what's amazing? We as Christians don't quite live this chapter like we should. The Bible says some pretty amazing things in this passage. It teaches you a lot of amazing doctrine in this passage. Look at verse 6. Rejoice is not iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. When you have perfect charity, that's what it does. Perfect love casts in fear. That's what the 1 John says. Look at verse 7. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's some good doctrine right there. Verse 8. Charity never faileth. Never faileth. You look at it. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. My preaching, prophecies, everybody, all the things we do will fail. Hey, but listen. God says this. Charity will never fail. All right, look at verse 13. And now abideth faith. Hope, charity. These are the last three in the pool. Here's the gold medal. But the greatest of these is charity. God says, hey, make God first in your love. You say, well, how does God have to be first in love? All right, go back to John chapter 13. Quickly, John chapter 13. How does God get first in your love? All right, you know what? We are beginning to love people with human love, which is not supernatural love. It's not an unconditional love. You know why marriages are falling apart all over America? Because you're trying to love your spouse in human love and human strength. Human love will last a while, but human love is very frail. It's fickle. It will change through the circumstances of life. When heat is applied to human love, it may melt. But unconditional love, which is the love that we find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I got to preach about it on TV the other day. For God so loved the world. Never get tired of that verse. Tell it to me one more time. Amen, Brother Samson? Here we go. For God so loved the world. Hold on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm sorry. I don't mind. Don't mind me for a second. Amen. I still like that verse. I know y'all heard it 1,000 times and it don't tingle anymore, but it still tingles me. Y'all listen to me now? For God so loved the world. God's love is so pure, so perfect, so right, so holy, that nothing would deter God or detour God's plan for Jesus Christ to go on the cross. Nothing was going to detour it because of love. Now watch this, John 13. If that love could help Christ go to the cross and then rise 3 days later, guess what it'll do for us? Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. He's giving it to the founders of the church right here. They're getting ready to go out and tear the world up by starting churches. Here we go. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Put God first in love. Look at verse 35. Here's what the Bible says in verse 35. By this shall all men know you, by your buildings, by your methods, by your programs. Let's be honest today. When's the last time you heard somebody say, man, that church is special because of the love there? I hear this all the time. Man, that church's got an awesome music program. That church has got an awesome pastor. That church has got good old-fashioned preaching. That church doesn't have good old-fashioned preaching. That church has a rock band on the platform, so I like it. That church ministers to my teenagers and my kids. That church has a great children's ministry. Hold on a second now, preacher. Are you saying No, I'm not against all those things. I'm for not the rock band. I'm for a lot of those things. If God is first. If God is first, it makes a difference. Y'all follow me now? So when you put God first, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Jesus says there's one testimony you could actually act out and live out that you won't even have to say a word, but people will know that you're mine if you love one another. Well, that's good stuff right there. How do you get that love? God first. God first. God first. In the beginning God, in the first God, in the first God. Preacher, I'm having a hard time loving so-and-so. Trust me, there's some people that's hard to love in this world. But guess what? You put God first and you will be able to love that person. God loves through you. God first. God first. In the beginning God. All right, number three. Number one, in the beginning, in the first God, life. Number two, love. Number three, laughter. Laughter. What? What are you talking about? Laughter. Why'd you throw that in there? Yeah, it's an important verse to me. Christians ought to be the happiest people in this world. Let me give you two verses that'll help with that. First, go to Ephesians in the New Testament. We'll look at this verse real quickly. But I believe Christians ought to be the happiest people in this world. Then we'll go to the book of Proverbs. Ephesians chapter 4. Here's why we're not happy. The devil says, I'm going to replace God as first in your life. I'm going to feed you and give you the seeds of doubt, bitterness, frustration, anger, loneliness, and they're going to take the place of the potential you have in God. You know, Psalm chapter 2 says God laughs. The Bible actually says He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That's what the Bible says. God has an emotion called laughter. All of us are going to laugh at something. What are you laughing at today? And by the way, I think it's good to laugh. I love to laugh. Laughing is healthy for you. Laughing is good for you. And your homes and your churches today need to have that laughter again. We need to get that joy back. This world has become a miserable place. People are just so upset. The other day I was driving in Jeff City with my son. I pulled up at a traffic light. And I just looked over to the side of me and the guy just started yelling at me. I mean, just started screaming at me. I was like, man, I know usually what I've done, but I did not do anything this time. You say, what'd you do? I followed him into the parking lot. I wanted to know what I did. You say, you're crazy. I know, but I really wanted to know so I could ask the Lord to forgive me later. I pulled up and I said, sir, is there a problem? Can I help you with something? He goes, you gave me a dirty look. I did? And then I figured out, I said, sir, I think I was looking and the sun blinded me so my eyes squinted. And he had a big old Twizzler hanging out of his mouth. You gave me a dirty look, son. Watch the faces you make. And I was like, man, Lord, I'm sorry. I always want to look happy. Most people say I always have a happy face. I got back in the car. My son's like, Daddy, what was that all about? I said, I was just checking to see if you needed some help. And apparently he doesn't, son. Let's go. But good night, man. I mean, he was screaming at me. He was an older man. I wasn't going to hurt him. I could have, but I didn't. I just got in my car and drove off, but I thought, have we gotten? I didn't think that was a good time to give him a track, so I didn't just move on. But I was thinking to myself, are we that miserable now? We're going to sit at a traffic light and just look for people to. He gave me a dirty. And then he was, and I couldn't even hear him. I said, sir, I couldn't hear you because your window was up, my window was up. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Were you trying to tell me something? Man, I thought he was drunk or high or something. But are we that miserable? I mean, you walk by Walmart from, hey, man, how you doing today? Good night. Laugh. Laugh at yourself. Y'all sure enjoyed Wednesday night when Coons got up here and did a little. You know what? That was funny. He's a funny guy. In fact, I think he's a better comedian than he is a preacher. Can I get an amen right there? There, that's for you, Brother Coons. He did some pretty weird things last Wednesday night in this pulpit. Now, go back, go to Proverbs 17. If you missed it, you just missed it. Amen. It's a great message, though, by the way. Laughter. Put God first. I'm glad. The other night, me and my wife and kids sat in our living room and talked. We were supposed to go to bed and have devotions, but an hour later, we just pray together, you know. An hour later, I finally said, okay, we really need to get to bed. What were we doing the whole time? Laughing. I love to laugh. I like to be around people that like to laugh. These people all the time just... Dude. I mean, like Brother Ross was saying. Now look, Proverbs 17, verse 22. Did you know that we are living in the most doped up society in the history of mankind? Everybody's buying their medicine from Canada, amen. And I understand we need some medication. I'm not preaching against medicine. Don't go out and say, Brother Randy's against medicine. I didn't say that. I'm a big fan of NyQuil. I bought stock in NyQuil. Stay with me now, okay? Stay with me now. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, sorceries are going to abound in the end times. I'm just about through. Sorceries. The Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia. Pharmacy. You know one of the businesses that's not lost any ground during this whole economic slump? The pharmaceutical business. They are exploding. They are billions of dollars a company. And then you think about Hollywood. You know why Hollywood's so wealthy and so successful still? They have found a way to make Americans laugh on a regular basis because people are looking for ways to laugh. They want joy somewhere, and they're missing it out. You know why? Because God hasn't been first. The byproduct of a happy home, there's going to be laughter in that house. There's going to be sounds of joy. You know, there's a place, Brother Coons knows what I'm talking about. You don't hear a whole lot of laughter in prisons. You hear a lot of metal, and it's just, but you know what? Our homes in America become almost like prisons because we've lost God being first. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 17. By the way, I still believe the Bible, God first. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I felt bad for that guy that was yelling at me, that thought I made a dirty look at him. He's got dry bones. I really felt bad for the guy. Maybe he'll listen to my radio broadcast and call me and get right. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry, sir. But I mean, dry bones in America. People are just angry. They're always looking for negative, 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 negative. I got to feed off negativity. I'll starve it. Listen, can I tell you something? Starve the negative side of your body and your life and your psychology and start feasting on that which is optimistic and positive. And God says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So put God first in your life. Put God first in your love. And put God first in your laughter. And it's amazing what God can do in your life. We're living in a society today where it's all backwards and all messed up. I want God first in my home. I can't. I want God first in the White House, but I can't. I don't have a whole lot of control of that. I can go out and vote this fall, which I will. And I dead sure ain't voting for the D. Dead sure. And I'm not even sure about the R yet. I'm praying about that. But I'm telling you, I ain't voting for the D. Because he doesn't go to God first. In fact, most of our politicians don't go to God first. We need to get back to where we go to God first in life and love and laughter. All right, let's go back to Genesis 1 and I'm done. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Did we even read that verse? We never did read that verse. Forgiving one another, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, is what that verse is all about. I'll tell you one way you can get back to the road of laughter. Forgive. Forgive. I love that word. The word gives in there. Forgive. I've learned this. Christians that are forgiving, God gives them laughter. You know what I really did later? By the way, I didn't get offended at the old guy. I laughed about it later. I really thought it was funny. I told my family about it. They're all laughing. That's funny, Daddy. Man, I wanted to give him a hug or something. Lighten up. Laugh at yourself. Life's too short. Lighten up a little bit. Lighten up. It's good for you. You won't get as many wrinkles when you laugh. I've heard that. The more you frown, the more wrinkles you get. Can I get an amen right there? All right, go back to Genesis 1. All right, now, the end of the chapter, verse 31, and I'm done. And God saw everything that he had made, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. I know I was missing an important part there. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. How was that possible? Because you back up 30 verses to verse 1. In the beginning, God. Teenager, put God first. Married couple, put God first. Single adult, put God first. Young person, put God first. Older folk, put God first. Make God first.